Hi friend, welcome back to Mama Matters 2, and today we are talking anxiety in motherhood, why Jesus says anxiety doesn't make you a bad mom. I really want you to be quiet during this episode. If you're driving, just try to focus. If you're doing laundry, great. I don't care what you're doing while you're listening. But if you could just really try to hear what I say, I know a lot of times as moms, I am so guilty of this. We multitask, which is important sometimes. We need to multitask sometimes. But when we are doing two things at once, even if it's just like laundry or dishes or whatever, it's great. We're getting things done. However, sometimes we lose our focus, at least me. I lose my focus for a minute and then I come back in and I hear some little snippets and then I lose my focus again. So I just want to encourage you to be fully present with me as we talk about this heavy but important topic. And yes, I am a sleep consultant. Yes, I will get your baby sleeping through the night in 2 weeks, but my heart and soul is, and my purpose in life is to tell you and speak truth to you about anxiety and motherhood, to tell you that you are not alone, that there is no mom left behind on my watch, and that I am there in it with you. And I'm fighting through this every day. I am by no means cured from anxiety. However, I've learned a lot of important truths over the last few years of being a mother that have encouraged me and changed the face of my anxiety. So if I can help you navigate yours in any way, that means I've done my job. So that's my goal. And we're going to talk today about what the Bible says about anxiety, what anxiety is, and then a few things about how we can change, you know, what we have been told about anxiety and change our thought processes and our thought patterns. So let's just go ahead and get into it. We're going to talk about just some truths today. I'm going to speak truths over you and your life. So let's do it. Hey, Mama. Are you tired of constantly being exhausted, not knowing what the day or night will hold? Are you sick of letting your mental and physical health suffer and feeling out of control of your day-to-day life as a mom? Are you ready to feel empowered and in control of your mind and home and finally feel rested again? Hey, I'm Alexa Martinez, pediatric sleep consultant, postpartum doula, and fellow mama who has been in your shoes, and I am so glad that you're here. Think of this as a cozy conversation with your best friend on a comfy couch mixed with a coaching session. Mom life, health and wellness, sleep, faith, and how to get rid of the overwhelm are all topics we will cover here on the podcast. And trust me, we don't shy away from the real and hard stuff. I'm here to help you put systems in place so that you can finally let go of the baggage and start enjoying motherhood the way you were created to. It's time to start feeling like yourself again, friend. So go reheat your coffee, I'm sure for the 10th time today, and let's dive right in. Because Mama, you matter too. Okay, first of all, I want to address how the world and the enemy has framed anxiety to make moms believe that we are not good enough or we are unqualified to be a good mom if we deal with anxiety, or unqualified to just be a Christian, I feel like, a lot of the time. So to my Christian moms with anxiety, you've been told to pray harder. You've been told there's nothing to be afraid of as long as you believe in Him and live a life full of faith. In Philippians 4, 6 through 7, which I guarantee you have read over and over or been told and preached at over and over, especially if you are a mom living with anxiety, God tells us in Philippians 4, 6 through 7, don't worry about anything, instead pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. There is 100% truth in that. However, what happens when that doesn't automatically cure us from anxiety? Does that mean we're sinning? Does that mean we aren't good enough? Does that mean we shouldn't be moms? And I believe the answer is absolutely not. We live in broken bodies that sometimes fail us, and we live in a broken world that adds to all of the worry. And you may even have a chemical imbalance in your brain that's contributing to it that I'm going to talk about here in a minute. But I first want to just say, Jesus was anxious. Jesus dealt with anxiety and fear. When he was in the Garden of Gethsemane before he was taken away to be crucified, he was sweating blood while he was praying to the Lord in the garden. Sweating blood, we know today, means just complete and utter distress. Your body is under so much distress that it has nothing more to do than sweat blood. So when we look at that, we know for a fact that he was anxious and afraid. However, he was not doing it in a way that was sinful. Of course, he is sinless. He is perfect. But that tells us that we can, it's what we do with it, right? If we sit and we stew in the anxiety and we let it overtake us and it turns us into sinful humans, which we are by nature, but if we let it overtake our lives and turn us into sin, that's where we start falling short. That's where we start turning into a sinful mom. Just dealing with anxiety day to day does not make you a sinful mom. So, first of all, anxiety can be medical and not a conscious decision. It's a lot of times not our cognitive brain. So I want to read this quote so that I don't get this wrong, because I am not a scientific person. I am not somebody that is just going to be able to spout scientific facts, okay? So this is what this quote says. One potential explanation for how anxiety works is, I'm sorry, that sentence does not make sense as I'm reading this. So, okay. Basically, it's saying there's a cognitive brain and an emotional brain. Okay? Everybody with me? The frontal lobe, where all of our sensations and thoughts come together as one unified experience, is the cognitive brain. So our frontal lobe is cognitive. The amygdala, located deep inside the brain, is part of the emotional brain. According to this theory, we only feel anxiety when signals from the emotional brain overpower the cognitive brain and into our consciousness. If you can rationalize that, for example, snakes are rare in the woods you're hiking in using the cognitive brain, then cognitive brain network overtakes and tames the emotional fear network. So what that's saying basically is, cognitively, we can know something, and that can overtake our emotional brain. However, when we have a chemical imbalance, the emotional brain takes over that cognitive part of our brain, even if it makes no sense. For me, in particular, I, for example, will know something completely cognitively and that is true. And I've talked about this to my therapist a lot. I'm like, I know that this is true. I know the truth. However, it doesn't matter how true I know or what truth I know in that moment. What matters is that my brain is spinning it and telling me anything but the truth. It won't even let me grasp the idea of the truth. So when that happens, our minds start racing. Nothing is rational. Nothing makes sense. And the enemy uses this. The enemy uses this, especially, I believe, in moms. The enemy can get in your head, and especially when I feel like moms are such a target, because we have not only the responsibility, but the privilege of raising our children to then be believers and to make real change and difference in the world. I think the enemy sees that as such a threat. I think that's the biggest threat. I think we are the biggest threat as moms, which actually brings me some peace, because it's like, okay, there's a reason that I'm being targeted. I'm doing something right when I'm being targeted. And I think even when, you know, for me specifically, it's like, okay, the Lord did not, or the enemy did not want me to make this episode, right? So I'm going to be targeted. That's how it works. Whenever I have an idea of something that I want to use to bring peace to other moms, I get targeted and I feel anxiety and I feel disqualified and not good enough. And it's just lies over and over and over. And that's how I know that I'm doing something right. However, even when I'm not doing this, if I'm, you know, if we're going into a season where I really need to be present with Carson and be, you know, intentional about the truths that I'm speaking over him, the enemy is going to target you. The enemy is going to try to bring you down and tell you that you're not qualified to teach him about the Lord because your own walk with the Lord is not perfect. And that, how can I tell him to not be anxious when my own son deals with anxiety? How can I tell him not to be anxious when I myself am anxious? What a hypocrite. You're a terrible mom. You're not good enough. You should have never had kids. Your anxiety disqualifies you. These are the things that I have to quiet daily. So here's some things that I have personally done to kind of flip the script a little bit, flip the narrative. While the enemy would have me believe my faith is weak, I cling to God even more because of it. And when the anxiety sets in, I pray more. I'm praying more when I'm feeling anxious. When my heart starts racing, I worship, I pray. When my mind starts racing, I cling to my Bible. I open up scripture. I have a notes section on my phone that has all of the biblical truths that I can speak out loud to myself over and over. Replacing fears with truths is so powerful. And having that list made up beforehand, before you're in that real depths of anxiety, is so helpful. So for example, if you are afraid of not being in control, because none of us are in control in general, but especially as moms, we're just so out of control. Our kids have their own people. They have their own free will. We can't control if they get sick. We can't control their daily choices. We can help guide them, but we're not in control. So replacing the fear, I am not in control, to great, God is in control. And writing the verses down that go along with this. Are you afraid of not knowing what lies in our future? God knows. He knows. He has everything written down. He goes before us. He knows. Are you afraid that you aren't adequate or called or a good enough mom? God says you are enough. God says you are called. God chose you to be that child's mother. So replacing those fears with truths and claiming it over yourself and your child and your home and your family, that starts kind of breaking down those barriers. Another thing that I do is, instead of focusing on trying to get rid of the negative thoughts, because I feel like personally, I will probably always deal with anxious thoughts. That's just how my brain works. That's how I am as a person. However, instead of focusing on trying to just get rid of anxious thoughts, let's just change how I respond to them in the seconds following the anxious thoughts. So for example, an anxious thought will pop up. Let's say Carson's sick and an anxious thought pops up. He's going to die. You're not qualified to take care of him right now. Something bad is going to happen. How about I change my thought immediately instead of sitting there and dwelling on it? Because I can so easily spin out of control, so easily. I can take one negative thought and spin it and just be out of control with anxiety and worry for days or weeks or months. That's just how I am. So instead of letting myself go there, immediately capturing that thought, capture it. Literally picture in your mind, physically capturing that thought, and replacing it with those truths that we talked about. pivoting instead of trying to just get rid of that completely. Because for some of us, that's just not going to happen. And I have started having less frequent anxious thoughts, for sure. Anxiety, therapy and just time and medication are all tools that I have used, for sure, to decrease the frequency and severity of anxious thoughts. But I'm still having anxious thoughts pop up every day, probably every hour. So replacing that immediately with the truth is the only way that I'm able to keep that from spinning out of control and from letting it derail my entire day. I want to just leave it here. I mean, these are the things that I can do, that I can tell you to do to replace anxious thoughts with truths. I think that I just need you to sit on that. I need you to make a list in your phone. And what I would love for you to do is, I have a link in my show notes for our Facebook community. I'm going to get in there sometime this week and kind of lay out my truths and my how I replace my truths with, or my fears with truths. I would love for you to come into the Facebook community and both read my posts on the fears and the truths and the Bible verses to back it. And I would love for you to also tell me your fears so that we can replace those truths together. Because I'm in it with you, sister. I am in this with you every single day. I'm sitting here preaching to you, but I'm in it with you. I promise. I'm dealing with this every single day with you. I hope that this brought you some peace, some feeling that you're not alone, because you're not. And I hope that you can turn this into knowing that you're qualified and called to be your child's or children's mother. I love you. I'm praying for you. And come join us in the Facebook group to bring some encouragement. Hey, sister, if this episode brought some value to your life, encouraged you, or made your day better in some way, please share this with another mama friend who could use some encouragement and let her know she is seen and loved. I would love for you to join me in my free Facebook group where I bring value like this every single day and get to answer your questions personally. You can find the link down below in show notes. I pray your day brings you peace and rest, and I can't wait for our next chat. Talk to you soon, sweet friend.